people and places. With your host, Brad Banjor, Pete Shapiro, Matt D'Andrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast. Presented by Mothers, Polishes, Waxes, Cleaners, Replay XD Cameras, Kicker Audio.
Hey everybody, it's Brad from Shift and Steer. You like our show, so why not tell your friends about it? Ask them to go to iTunes, hit the subscribe button, and also leave that so important 5-star rating for us. If you're an Android user, you can listen on Stitcher Radio. Just search for us at Shift and Steer. Follow us on social media, Shift Steer Media on Instagram and on Twitter. Want to know more about the cast, like myself, Aaron, Pete, and Matt? Just go to shiftandsteer.com. It'll take you right to our Facebook page. Thanks for listening. So, Matt, another edition of Shift and Steer. Pete, Pete here today. It's great having Pete back. You know, I mean, we've had him back for a couple episodes now, but it's nice just to have you back in the studio, Pete.
Yeah, this studio, the beautiful studio. You know, I'm just so impressed with what you've done with the place since I was gone.
Bond Speed doesn't back off on anything, okay?
I gotta tell you.
Another week, another show. Unfortunately, no Aaron. We'll get him again, but
we'll have him again. He's been in Vegas all week with his dad doing Cabo Wabo or beach ball rum or something like that, and then he comes back on the show probably next episode, and then at the end of the month when we're with Ferrari. So
Ferrari,
but you guys both get big grins whenever I say that when we're with Ferrari.
I know that Matt's going to be in his element, and I am going to be right behind him. He won't even know I'm there hardly. Just gonna be right.
You'll just be right on his heels.
Gonna be glued to Matt during the Ferrari deal.
Nice. Well, I think it's gonna be a lot of fun, and that's at Sonoma Raceway for the Ferrari Challenge. So, those of you that are into it, they invited us up. It's gonna be a killer event because we're gonna be talking to a lot of their factory racers, the CEO, and we're going to do everything we can to get our butts in the seats of Ferraris up there and, show Pete what the other half is all about.
So. Yes, but Pete needs to know what the other half's all about.
All right, but before we get to Ferraris, let's talk a little bit about muscle cars, hot rods, because I know we got some friends calling in.
Yeah, definitely, because you know what? Ferraris aren't the only thing that can handle if you set them up right.
Yeah, you're right.
That's right. So our friends that are on the line right here is Art and Craig Morrison from Morrison Chassis. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Doing about great. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, thanks so much for taking some time out of your day to talk to Shift and Steer because, we have been trying to really keep it across the board, and we talk about hot rods and muscle cars, but then we're talking about Aventadors and LaFerraris and like that. But the whole thing is that it's kind of a mashup anymore, because what we see is that with guys like you building these incredible chassis that can take the body of a muscle car but make them handle. I mean, what got you into this?
Oh, God, we're going to go back. I started this deal in the garage of my house 44 years ago this year. I had a love of cars all the way back into the 60s when I was a kid. And as it went, it involved drag racing and all of that. Well, as time and years went by, it just kind of went into the street rod market, and as it's evolved, trust me, it's like, and Pete can attest to this, anybody that's done any of this nonsense for a long time, you start a business and it starts out small, and somewhere along the line, it just kind of rolls into being a real business, and that's what this joint's done. Is it's somewhere along the line rolled into a real business with real folks and with a real product and now with real development. And when Craig got involved with the business, he started working here when he was 13, and then when he went to school, got a marketing degree, and his absolute input into the business started in the summer of 02 when he was jabbing me with a fork and said, we got to do a bolt-on frame. We've got to do something that that's a true bolt-on for just so that the masses can get one of our frames without having to do any welding or anything. And that's sort of what has led us to where we're at today and got us, into the and it was about that same period of time we hired our first engineer, in which I was just deathly afraid of, because I thought, God, I'm going to have to tell him, oh, no, the line has to go here. You've got to put a curve there. And, no, you get a good engineer, a good, bright, young engineer, of which we've got several now, and they just make gold happen. And so anyway, but Craig was a driving force. And when we built that first Tri-5 frame for the we do them for the 55 to 57 Chevy, when we did that first one and sold it in the summer or spring of 03, to date we've sold just about right at 1,200 just of that one frame.
Yeah, it's incredible.
That's actually pretty amazing. This is the thought that I kept going in my head is I'm so impressed by it. What you guys have done with this company and how it's grown, because the chassis is not an easy thing for, to put onto the car, or put in this case underneath the car. It's not like we're ordering, wheels and tires, like from Brad over at Bond Speed or something, or we were just talking last week about gauges and stuff.
Yeah.
It's not something like I could just go at home and put this, put gauges in my car, put wheels on my car. Chassis is a big thing. And for you guys to be moving thousands of chassis is impressive.
It's incredible. The bolt-on thing is it actually took when I had Pete and Jake's, when Jake and I decided to take on the fat fendered cars, the 40 Ford style cars, and we started doing the bolt-on deal because that was exactly opposite of what was going on in the industry. And I know that Art remembers all of that. It changed everything. The whole business just went, it skyrocketed. And I know that Art, they've done the same bloody thing with the 55 Chevys. It's an amazing, isn't it, Art, isn't it crazy? I mean, it's just...
Oh, it's absurd. And I mean, and Craig can really attest to this also. I mean, it is crazy. And we move right now, and it's busier now than it's ever been, ever. Goofy busy right at the moment, and we ship out about 10 a week is what we're doing right now.
That's amazing. One of your customers is Bobby Alloway, who's a really good friend of mine, and I spoke with him earlier today on this subject, and he has nothing but praise for your company. I mean, and he's at the absolute crescendo of the car builders world, so You got a friend there.
and we know that. And like Troy, all of the cars that Troy builds uses our frames, and we've been just blessed with these great builders that they put just a wonderful amount of faith into us. I've told Craig many times, I'm always humbled by the folks that'll take and write us a check for $20,000+ for a complete frame with an independent rear suspension, and it just goes, the list goes on and on and on, and that they do it with this blind faith that we'll get them the product that they want.
Well, I think it goes with your reputation because, I mean, I know everything that, the Morrison chassis we put under my friend and business partner's Nomad, that it fit. Everything was right. And then we've got a 66 Chevelle that we started, and we put a Art Morrison chassis under that. And that's what it is about, Matt and Pete, is, as you guys know, is he talks about the bolt-on aspect, but what you do, and when we talk about Bobby Alloway, Art and Craig, you'll tweak these things to whatever measure the builder needs. And I know that on the Chevelle, we had certain things that we needed, and it fit perfect. And it was beyond the bolt-on because all new floors and all new, firewall and everything. Yeah. But that's the beauty, is that you guys aren't just trying to be mass-producing and get as many out. It's giving the builders what they really need. And how does that work? How do you kind of please both worlds, the bolt-on world and that one-off custom guy?
Well, this is Craig speaking, and we've got the two sort of distinct different styles of chassis. One, yes, the bolt-on frame that anybody can order and sort of unbolt their stock chassis and bolt this new frame up underneath their existing body. And then the other side of the business is doing these sort of bespoke chassis for customers where everything about the particular frame is custom. We'll set it up to the ride height that the customer wants. We have three or four different front suspension choices that the customer can pick from. There's now four or five different rear suspension options. We can do coil springs or air springs. And so the conversation really starts when the customer first calls, and it's sort of a process of finding out sort of what the customer is going to do with the car, how it's going to be driven. Is he going to road race it? Is he going to drag race it or just drive it back and forth across country or that sort of thing? And then it just gets into where he'll set it, mock the car up at ride height and give us some dimensions and then tire and wheel info about what he's going to run. And then we'll take that information and then go ahead and have our engineering department come up with a blueprint of what the chassis is going to look like. We'll send that to the customer, and then they'll verify the information that it looks great and it's what they want, or we'll do a few tweaks and changes to make them happy. And then as soon as they're happy with it, they sign off on the drawings, and then we go forward and build the chassis.
Now, did I see that you're also offering, and if I'm totally off base here, we'll blame it on Matt, but are you also offering subframes now for some of like the Camaros and those type of, or is it all just full chassis?
Yeah, that's correct. We also do the subframes for the first gen Camaro, which is 67, 69, and then we also do one for the 70 to 81 Camaro. And then the 67 to 69 Camaro also fits 68 to 74 Novas.
Oh, okay.
And those subframes, we use C7 Corvette control arms, and then the upright on it is off of a C6 Corvette.
Now, let's say I've got a 69 Camaro, and I'm just a guy who wants to have a nice ride height, maybe take it through the cones once in a while. I don't need a full competition deal. And I just want to maybe hang a different rear end with some, you know, coilovers in the rear, but I want one of your front subframes. What kind of investment am I looking at?
For a complete package, because we actually, on the first-gen Camaros, we kind of went a little bit different than everybody else out back, because those stock unibody rails in the back of those cars are just, they're really, really thin.
Yeah.
And so we actually have designed a rear subframe for the 67 to 69 Camaro.
Oh, with connectors or something like that?
Well, it's a complete rear subframe where you take and trim out the stock unibody rails.
Okay.
And our subframe fits back up underneath the stock sheet metal like a set of replacement unibody rails.
Oh, cool. Okay.
All jig welded, and it's got all of our suspension bracketry all welded on there, and we can supply it either with an independent rear end or a solid axle out back. And a complete package in the back and in the front with brakes and third membrane axles for the 9-inch. Complete package like that runs about, you know, $12,000 to $14,000, depending on brake choices and third member options and that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's the whole car, though. That's the front and the back,
the whole
thing. That's the whole car.
It's pretty much down the middle between front and back.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's taking a muscle car and taking a car that you like the body style, but it drives you, and getting it to where you can drive it and really enjoy it.
I got perfect way to put it, because we've come to the conclusion that everything that we build now allows people to drive over their heads. it gives you more talent than you would normally have.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's face it, people, that didn't grow up in the muscle car era, they're used to driving couches. You know, I mean, they're not used to driving something that really reacts fast. And, you know,
it's
I mean, let's face it, Matt, you drive these press cars all the time, yeah. And a lot of them are, they have modes, okay?
Yeah.
Muscle cars, it's on all the time.
Yeah, they have save your ass mode. They have they have scare the shit out of you mode.
Yep.
There's various stages for it.
And lose your license mode.
And here's the other thing that's often overlooked. It's we're so obsessed with horsepower because horsepower is awesome. But these days, it's really easy to make horsepower. Like on, you could drop an LS engine in new Ford Coyote engines. You can drop those things in cars all day long, for not a lot of money. By the way, you're talking about five or six grand.
That's the beauty.
And already you're well over 400 horsepower. Then you can start adding superchargers and stuff like that. And it's not; these aren't $35,000 engine packages. For $10,000, you can have a supercharger.
Yeah, and now you can get the suspension that holds up and keeps with it.
Is that kind of power tears cars in half?
Yeah,
and makes it unsafe. So the next step, certainly, what you guys are seeing over there at Morrison is making that car not only handle better, but making it more confident for the driver and making it safer overall. Because you certainly don't want that car to just tear in half.
Exactly.
Right.
That's what it does. It just makes it – it truly does make it safer overall. One interesting thing, when we first tested our 55 Chevy back in the day when we first got it done. The fall of 2003. One of the great comparisons was the 60-0 braking aspect. With this 55 Chevy that we did, 60-0 braking was 132 feet, which at the time was exactly what a new C5 Corvette could do. And about a month later, they tested a bone stock 55 Chevy with four-wheel drum brakes and bias ply tires. And the 60-0 braking on an all original 55 Chevy was 300 feet.
Jeez.
And when was the last time you were on a freeway in Southern California where you had 300 feet of space?
Exactly. No. Yeah.
At that point, you just open the door and jump out.
I told my wife after we heard about that test, I said, if you're ever driving and you see a 55 Chevy, a 57 Chevy in back of you, I said, you got to stop quick. I said, just get over to the side because he's going by you.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, a brick with wheels. What do you expect? So
exactly. Exactly.
I have a quick question for you. We're getting ready to do a 41 Willys pickup truck. That's the guy wants to build kind of a street drag car, but we're not going to tub it huge. It's going to be a very nicely done car.
You're not going to do that on air. Ask them for put them in a position where they got to make a decision on a discount air.
Not,
come on,
not
Pete.
A discount. Come on now. I'm in for making money.
Does
come
it
on.
Come in SoCal red.
Yeah. I'm interested in, and I don't know if you guys even do this. I'm interested in independent front end versus strut, where I have room in the front because he's got huge fenders. Do you guys do strut? Is that something like
we do strut packages. We quit building our own strut because we just the deep became so small that we finally, when we ran out of the last batch of castings for our own strut, we just quit doing them. The strut we use now would be like, say, from a Strange Engineering is who we use.
Okay. Well, that's what we
like. I said, the college has got to be just about zero.
Yeah, we've done a couple of race cars with Strange, and I guess I'm asking is in recommending. What do you think that the strut on the street is viable, or should we just pass on that and just go with the independent?
I'd pass on it and go with the independent.
Okay, that's good advice.
Because what it'll wind up doing, it's a little bit. They take a little bit more space than a strut, but you don't need. You can get by without having to do the firewall down support. If it's going to be a true drag race style deal where you're going to take to the drag, then you're going to put a full cage in it and run it through from the upper part of the cage or the firewall part of the cage. Down through the firewall, down to the front, and you can still do that. Just do it over the top of the A arm.
Yeah, totally understand. Totally understand, and I think you've answered my question. My client, you know, is sees the strut, right? And I'm thinking, I don't really know if I want to do that. So we'll be talking to you.
Well, the thing with a strut on a street is that. Typically, unless it's like the ones we used to make, And we literally, when we knew it was going to be a street deal, we would actually put a ball joint underneath it, and we'd put a polyurethane type fastener into the chassis, but with something from Strange. It's a spherical ball at the base of the strut. It is the top of the strut isn't rotating in any kind of a bearing. It's actually just two big or fairly thick polyurethane washers. So all of a sudden, everything, and it's made for just a small amount of travel, a total of, say, 2 inches of travel at the spindle.
Yeah.
So you got an inch of bump and an inch of rebound. And so it doesn't give you a lot of room for anything on the street.
Yeah, so we don't have anything for the street in that configuration, so we're just going to pass.
Yeah, it sounds like it'd be cool, but uncomfortable.
No, I don't. We don't.
And it would break.
Yeah, I'm not into anything breaking on like the front end.
Yeah, you don't want that. It sounds more like that. That would be like a setup like an old pro stock car would have, or something like that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well.
We did literally hundreds of those. Seriously, hundreds of those with when we were building in the drag racing, when we were building drag race type cars. Just, God, I was a major sponsor with the NHRA for 17 years. So we did a staggering amount of drag race type cars.
Yeah, and they want to limit that travel so that they can transfer the weight to the back and all that. But on a street car,
exactly.
You know, yeah,
it's a little bit lighter weight deal, and so on. And there's a lot of really good reasons to have it on a drag strip, but a lot of really bad reasons to have it on the strip. Yeah.
But it looks so cool, Art. I mean, come on, you impress all your buddies.
Well, I thought you guys might have come up with something that was a little bit on the street side, and so now that I know, and I'm damn sorry. I asked.
No, you got. No, see, you're informed now. You're informed.
Round and round with Bobby every time we talk about a new frame, and he's got several going right now, and it's always got. He's the one guy that we will always make concessions, and because he's been. It was actually the guy who introduced us, and it was in the late '90s. Boyd had called me. We did a lot of work with Boyd. And Boyd called. He said, God, I got a friend in Tennessee. He said, you've got to give him a call. He said, he really needs your help. And so I gave him a call, and it was Bobby. And God, we hit it off instantly. And we've been friends ever since.
Could you keep up with him? Because he's such a fast talker.
Yeah.
Oh, really.
Hey, what's the craziest thing you've ever built a chassis for?
Oh, God, there's a list.
Yeah.
Well, give it to us. We want to hear it.
Actually, here's a couple off the top of my head. We did, 2 years ago, we did a chassis for a 2010 Nissan Cube that was powered by an LS9.
Really? Okay, cool.
That's kind of crazy. We just sent a chassis out last week for a 1965 Ford Cortina. That is right-hand drive for a track day car down in New Zealand.
Wow.
Chassis for a 2006 Monte Carlo that the guy's putting a twin-turbo LS motor in.
I think you're going to get more of those because we're selling a hell of a lot of wheels for Monte G-body cars anymore. So.
Working on a package right now for a customer. For a 1977 Chrysler Cordoba.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, with Corinthian leather.
With our new independent rear suspension, big wheelwood brakes, JRI double adjustable racing shocks, and on and on and on.
Well, Craig, that one I don't think is going to be a huge part number.
$10,000 chassis under a $10,000 car.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to end up being a big part number, though.
Yeah, we just got one of your chassis for a 58 Corvette, so.
Oh, there's one beautiful. There's one other one we did that was unbelievably cool. I'm going to have Craig tell you about it. For Jonathan Lowe, Austin.
Yeah, there's one that we did that's actually being built down in your guys' neck of the woods. It is an Aston Martin DB4 Zagato with new Aston V12 drivetrain that we did the chassis.
Oh, you're doing that for Jonathan.
Yeah, Jonathan Ward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, over at Icon.
He makes such
great stuff.
The really neat thing about that is that Eric Lee Spada, who was the original designer for the Aston DB4 in the 60s, his design firm in Milan, Italy, was involved in this project, and they coach built a new old body based off of some of Erkley's designs, and part of the body for this car was actually built on the original buck for the DB4 Zagato back in the...
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's cool stuff. Jonathan's a good friend of mine, and he showed me a lot of this stuff.
He built some really cool stuff.
I know you guys have been working with him for a long time on his Broncos and everything else, so I know that...
His whole derelict line has been just a fantastic home run for him, and it's been a lot of fun working with some of the different cars that he's been able to do with those derelict builds.
So, see, there's one other part of the design deal we do that got to be really remiss if I didn't tell you how we do it. We will get, and Jonathan, and he's one of the customers that we've done this with, they will send the entire car up to us, and we will pull the body off of the chassis. We have a portable measuring device, a portable CMM that we actually set down in the chassis, and we start picking off points. And the guys, the engineers, are working off of a laptop, and they will pick out bumper mount locations. They'll pick out all the body mount locations. They'll run along profile, the side of the profile of the frame for a kick and on back for anything and everything that we need associated with that chassis. They'll pick the points from one end 20 odd, some odd feet to the back end. And then they'll come up, we'll download this into our main computer, and they'll get a drawing and just solidify all the lines on the thing. And then we'll do a best fit of our bending capabilities within the shadow of this stock frame, and then off we go. And it allows us to get body mounts proper. It lets us do all of that. Roy Brizio had a customer several years back, but it had a 49 Buick. The car was finished, done, and said, could we build a body for it, or a chassis for it? Well, they lifted the body off, sent us the chassis, and we just reverse engineered the entire chassis, put all the mounts on it, did everything else, and then sent it back to them. They did a trial fit, got everything cleaned up that way, sent it off for powder coat and ching, and here they had the 49 Buick with a late running gear.
That's awesome. I mean, Art, did you ever think, I mean, when you're building your first chassis, that it would get to this level and you'd be moving so many chassis out the door?
Absolutely not.
I mean, you hoped, right?
I don't think anybody ever plans it. This is a man in the moon.
Yeah.
It amazes me, and I'm so impressed by what you guys have built because... The chassis is not an easy thing.
This isn't
a wheel and tire swap. This is a big deal.
And you keep using wheels and tires. You know, there's a lot of technology in wheels too. Okay,
to make them maybe, not to put them on.
Not to put them on.
You're right. Put them on.
You're
to
right.
make them maybe.
Oh, it does. This is just a little bit more magnified. That's all.
Right. I mean, it certainly speaks to the quality of product that you guys make because so many shops around the country are going to you guys for
yeah, that's the key. That's the key. When Jake and I first started doing this way back in 73, and I'm sure that Art and Craig feel the same way at this point, that's the mystery of the car build because people just cannot do it. I mean,
no.
You can paint a car because they just painted their kitchen. You know what I mean? Yeah. That seems to be the simple side. But the mystery is in the welding and the chassis.
No, and like you got to know math. You got to do math. And nobody likes to do math. It's not fun. To do the geometry on the suspension, you got to do math.
You know what? They should have told all the kids that in school. Yeah. You know, you'll never be able to build hot rods if you don't know math. Then every kid would be studying up, man. Yeah.
That would have sold me, actually. That
yeah, me too.
When we get an opportunity, I used to be on an advisory committee for WyoTech, and the only reason I quit is because it started interfering with fishing trips. And so... Anyway, but that's what we'd tell the students back there. I said, God, you guys, and this is the deal. I was just so negligent in going to high school and looking back. There's things I wish I had done, and I didn't. I mean, I've obviously learned it all the hard way, but that's it. I've learned it the hard way.
You learned it the hard way, but you learned it the right way.
Yeah, the right way. It's working out. So where can we find you on the internet, guys?
We got our website, which is artmorrison.com. We also have an Art Morrison Facebook page as well as a Art Morrison Instagram page.
Cool. And we will post all those links on our Facebook page, everybody. So if you want to just go there, click on it. It'll take you right there. And any new products we got to know about?
Well, go ahead. Yeah, we've got we just came out with a whole entirely new independent rear suspension that we do. That's very loosely based off of what the new fifth-gen Camaro has underneath it.
Oh, okay.
Nice. As far as chassis go, we just came out with a bolt-on frame for the 59 to 64 Impalas and full-size Chevys. Mm. And then we just picked up a 55 Chevy pickup truck and are working on a 55 to 59 Chevy pickup truck frame.
Awesome. Wow, so, great. Yeah, I mean, I like the variety, you know, that's what's cool about it. So,
it's huge. And people think, oh, why don't you do Fords? Why don't you do a bolt on for a Ford? Why don't you do the problem with the, and just so that people are perfectly clear and understand this, there aren't enough of those to warrant making the tooling and everything else to do it. For some reason, Fords of the 50s, Chryslers of the 50s, they all wound up getting crushed, and there just aren't the numbers to warrant building the tooling that there are, say, with the GM products. And
yeah, their motors died young.
You know, so many of those.
That's what happened.
One other thing I got to say before we get done with this.
Sure.
We got our people here that I can't say enough about the folks we got. They're the ones that are responsible for making all this cool stuff. I'm just a cheerleader. Craig is the director, and I just run around and pat people on the back, say, God, good job. But we have 11 people here right now that have been here 20 years or longer.
Wow, that's awesome.
We've got one gal that's been here 34. One of our sales guys just had his 30th anniversary. And we have 10 people. Let's see. No, there's another 9 that have been here 10 to 20 years. And out of the 35 people, we've just got a lot of folks that have just flat stuck. And all you guys that have been in business for any length of time at all know how valuable good folks are. And we've been so blessed with those people.
That's awesome. I mean, well, it says a lot about the work atmosphere too. And I know that you guys usually have smiles on your face. Every time I think of Art and Craig, you guys, I think of, we did this Bond Speed bash in Vegas a while back. And I remember they just had the biggest smiles on their face the whole time.
You could.
You guys were
a good time.
Yeah,
you can almost remember that.
Oh, come on, it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, you can remember it. You weren't there, right?
No, we just got to do another one sometime. So, anyways, guys, thanks so much for taking time out of your day to be on Shift and Steer, and we will certainly hit those links on our Facebook page. And thanks for being on, Craig and Art.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, that was. Okay. Art and Craig Morrison from Morrison Chassis, and man, you know, they really do make just dynamite
I've
stuff.
I've seen their stuff. I worked with their stuff in the past, and you're right. They do have amazing stuff, but also check out their website because we talked about the subframes and the chassis, but they have a whole slew of stuff.
Yes.
So many different types of brake packages, suspension packages. There's a 3-link, there's a 4-link, there's an IRS, and so many different options that these guys can
stuff. If you can't find it, you don't need it, right?
That's right. Hey, before we forget about it, I do want to bring up that we are running this promotion with Mother's Polishes and Waxes, and it gives our listeners a chance to get ready for spring and summer and win a one of those great big 5-gallon wash buckets, and it's just stacked full of cleaning products and cool stuff from our friends over at Mother's. So the way you're going to win one of those is by subscribing to our show. And, you know, we're going to put all this on our Facebook page, but what we want you to do is go to iTunes and subscribe, but then we need you to give us a 5-star rating and hopefully, I mean, you know, post a positive comment. And in that review, put a hashtag that says hashtag Mother's Polish Shines. And if you're already a subscriber, and we know who you are, you can go to our Facebook page and write a nice comment and put pound See, I did it again. Hashtag Mother's Polish Shines. Hashtag Mother's Polish Shines. And we'll enter you in the contest as well.
We appreciate you guys giving us the good reviews. We do love that. And tell a friend about the show. It's a way to keep this thing growing and keep it on the air.
It really is, because when you subscribe, that keeps us up in the ratings, and that shows the advertisers that you guys are listening. We know you are, but they want to know too, and helps us keep doing it. So please go there. All the information will be on, and then we will give two of these wash buckets away again this week. We'll draw for them on Friday. All right, guys. So, you know, coming up next, we got another guest. This guy's been around, you know, hot rodding forever. He's built this gauge company up, and, you know, it's pretty interesting how he got into it. So, you know, let's bring him on right now. John from Classic Instruments. John, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Brett. How are you?
Good. And I've got Pete and Matt here with me as well.
Hi, Pete. Hi, Matt.
Hey, yeah,
John.
It's good to see you, John.
John, thanks for calling in. We're definitely a big fan of your stuff, and we've been following your gauges for so long and what you guys have been doing in the hot rod space. And it's certainly working with a lot of builders like Pete and Brad in the past. We're working on custom gauges and stuff. But thanks, man. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. Yeah, great. And working with a lot of great builders has been quite an honor for quite a few years now.
Yeah, I really appreciate you taking the time. Thank you.
So John, tell us a little of the history, because I know Classic Instruments has a really, you know, long and illustrious, you know, history. I mean, originally founded, what, in the 70s, wasn't it?
77 by Frank and Shirley Heddick out in Crooked River Ranch, Oregon.
Okay. And I remember Frank and Shirley, and then, you know, they did a lot of innovation, but when you guys brought it back to Michigan, it seemed like it just was a whole new company. And just kind of tell us a little bit about the company and how you came to be the leader of it.
Sure. Frank and Shirley built a great, great foundation for us. They really understood quality parts and design. We just basically took the ball from them and kind of ran with it a little bit. My background came from building custom cars and working with Tom Gale. And once we purchased the company, Tom and I sat down, and he really thought that the design could take it to the next level. And that's where it really started, where the company started to really take off and get some traction, was with the Tom Gale designs. Of course, Tom coming from Chrysler and all the designs and forward thinking Tom was doing with Chrysler, it was almost too good to be true when Tom first sat down. That first All-American series came, and that's really what launched it off. From there, custom design came into it. The one thing that was left from the builders that they hadn't changed or customized was the gauge cluster. And what do you look at more? The first custom one was early on with you, Brett. You and Boyd really had the first Boyd series instrument cluster, and that kind of started it. George Poteet came to me early on, and I did not know George from the man on the moon. And George asked me if we would do this 44 that Dave Lane built for him. And I didn't say no. I just said, yeah, we can do that, and had no idea what I was getting into. And that really started the custom gauge building, and now we have a separate division that's all they do is build one-off clusters.
Refresh my memory about what time of what year was that when that started with Tom?
With Tom would have been approximately 10 years ago.
Okay. The thing is that I remember when we came to you, I mean, when Boyd and I, you brought that up, and what was interesting was other gauge manufacturers would say, well, no, we make the A model, the B model, or the part number, this or that. And that's what was unique, is you guys were open to doing it. You were like, yeah, let's give it a try. And I think you had the foresight to realize that there was a market, because, I mean, Pete, you know this. I mean, why do your customers come to you? Because they want something that's totally unique.
Right.
Exactly. So why not the gauges too,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And I mean,
it becomes very personalized.
Yeah.
John, now it had to be, I mean, like you said, you really didn't know. You just said, let's do it. But that's a big rework because you're going from, you know, making a part number that, you know, you have all these things on the shelf. And where did it kind of strike up in you that, hey, this is going to be the wave of the future?
Well, I'd love to take all that credit, but it was really the builders that came to us, you know, guys like Pete and a lot of other very creative builders. And once I think it started, other people started to see and hear about it. And then the level of complexity got to really start getting on to where we had to buy higher end equipment. We started hiring more creative people. And once the first one started, it just snowballed. And like I said, we literally had to separate it from the company because, as you know, Brad, you can do one thing for the catalog where, you know, you make multiple of the same. But the second you make that change, it's very difficult from a manufacturing point of view to have that change. So you have to have a completely different way of thinking about doing it. And that creativity is what really drove me further. And to be honest, I'd much rather spend time back in the custom side of the business than the standard. I mean, my bread and butter is still the catalog and my dealers, and you know, we love them dearly. But the custom, it's just fun to go back there and see what's going on and working with all the great builders. And they challenge me. They challenge me every day, not only on time, but on creation and design.
And, you know, you were talking about your catalog products, and I know that's grown quite a bit over the years, and you're offering kits for cars, like a gauge kit with multiple gauges for early model Mustangs and stuff like that, so people can buy these packages and put everything in, right?
Yes, correct. The direct fit gauge market has grown a ton, and that too came from our customers. We keep track of every cluster that's requested that we don't have, look at that data, and then that really goes to the R&D and new product development team. The 40 Ford, you know, I keep hearing all this rumor of hot rodding's dead. Well, one of our strongest selling gauges we launched at SEMA last year was the 40 Ford cluster, and it comes standard out of our catalog division, and we literally can't build them fast enough.
Well, I mean, where Matt brought that up, I think you came out with a Tri-5 cluster that really had things all kind of placed in there in a unique when you do the R&D on that, how long does something like that take?
Each one has its own level of complexity, but we like to go from beginning to end within 4 months. The one thing that I refuse to let my staff do is announce it before it's on the shelf and ready for sale. I think our industry
has
smart. Seen a lot of that. Yeah, boy, isn't it? Because I was on the other side of the builder side, and you'd see that cool product at an event or something, and you can't get it, the frustration levels from the customer point of view and the builder point of view. And we just made that statement very, very early on, and you'll never see that from Classic. And what's very unique about Classic, we don't pre-build any cluster. Every order we take from every dealer in the 8 countries that we do, we take the order, we manufacture and ship within 48 hours, which is much different mindset than any other manufacturing company.
And I can vouch for that because we at Bondspeed, we offer a specialized cluster that we design called the Roulette. And it's really very specific, and we know that when we take an order from a customer, we can call John's company, and over at Classic, they're going to put it together and drop ship it out to our customers, and it's going to be top-notch, and it's going to happen. Now, we talked the other day about one of my customers. I was designing a logo bug for him, and now how does it work when, you know, we spoke about, okay, we want this gauge, it exists in your line, but we want this customer's logo that we designed for him. Now, how does that work for you guys? I mean, I'm trying to get behind the curtain here, John, and let customers know that, you know, that it is a complex operation because there are so many different things. And I think sometimes we're so close to it that we forget, you know, half the things. Take us through, if I call you, taking my customer's gauge, for instance, and say, I just want this logo we created on your XYZ gauge. How complex and how long does that take in your internal departments?
it's not complex for us. The most difficult step on creating a custom gauge is the communication part. So we spend a lot of time in communication, talking with the customer or their builder to try to get exactly what they're after. Colors are very crucial. Red to you is different than red to me.
Oh, yeah.
Design and logos, same piece. So we can start from a napkin drawing, or we can take an actual rendering from any one of the renderers that are out there, and we want to start there. And once that communication goes back and forth, and any samples of colors, if it's that specific, need to be handled, we get all that done. And then once we get the logo, we usually ask for it in an Adobe file or a TIFF file. Then we'll take that information, and our team will actually do a rendering of the gauge package that you can take to your customer for a sign-off. And we can do as many changes at that point because it's a computer rendering at that point. And once they see that, they can kind of get a better picture, and maybe they want to change the mile per hour, maybe they want a 10 grand tag, whatever all those pieces are. Once that is done, we'll even go to the level of sampling. Depending on the customer and the level of complexity, we may just do a sample dial, ship it to the customer, and make sure we're on the same page. Because the last thing we want to do is have everything made, have it all printed and built, and have it wrong. So the key to that is the communication. Once that, all that gets done, the sign-off, usually within a week on a custom gauge like that where it's just a reprint or a print and a logo, because we do it all in-house, now some of it may be done with laser, water, jet, printing. There's all different mediums that we use. It depends on the complexity. But doing something like your projects, the longer time is going to be that communication, make sure we have it right, than actually doing the print work.
Okay. So you're pretty much self-contained. It's not like you have to send out to a lot of different vendors, and that probably helps you keep the quality control in check too.
Absolutely. Yeah, we are 100% indoors when it comes to the custom, minus chrome plating or actual, if we machine a bezel or a piece like that, those two pieces are sent out. But all the printing, all the laser work, CMM arm, all that kind of stuff is all done internally. And what we learned very early on, Brad, was just that control that we had. And if there's a problem or a mistake or a change, we can go right back, and within, again, that 48-hour window really gives us a bunch of time to do it. And each one of those is the complexity level of it. Just doing a logo change, like you're saying, a week to 2 weeks is what we need. When you're talking a full retrofit, that's a different story. It depends, you know. Sometimes Troy will throw me under the bus and come up with some huge creation, and then, you know, we really get into some fun stuff. But those are the ones that I really like because of the challenge level.
Cool.
It's always been a pleasure working with everybody over there. It's got a great business. The quality, working with the team and so on for the last 10 years has been really great.
It is. It's got a whole attitude, and I think that comes from the top down. I mean, John's attitude with quality, we've had a lot of discussions over the years, and he's just he's quality standard, but he's also on it with being open-minded. I mean, there's so many people that, we're in the box. John's box definitely has rubber walls. So, and I don't mean that in a bad way either.
John, what are some of the more popular direct fit gauge packages that you guys offer right now?
Well, the Tri-5s are definitely always been strong sellers. But what I've noticed in the last year, the trucks, the 67 to 72 Chevy trucks,
right.
Some of the we've seen all the truck market, the F-100s. Right now, the truck market just seems to be really strong and booming. And I think that availability, easeability, and anybody that can buy a truck can work on it. Most of them bolted together. So right now, our direct fit truck market's very strong.
Yeah, the C10, we're getting a lot of calls on the C10s, 69 especially.
I mean, I think everybody is. We're selling a lot of wheels at Bond Speed, too, because the C10s are just so hot. Now, John, one of the things I wanted to ask you is you've got your playtime. Talk about what you do in your off hours.
Well, that's the blessed part. I'm a retired police officer. I put in early retirement. I worked as a police officer 16 years here in Michigan. And once I came into this. It's like play. We all work hard. Everybody in this industry understands there's a lot of hours between shows and things of that nature. But I've been blessed because I'm very passionate about cars. I drag race NHRA level for Stock Eliminator. I was fortunate enough to be chosen to get one of the factory Dodge drag pack cars. And of recent, I got picked up, and I work at Bonneville. So I went 206 in a 32 Ford last year.
Wow! Congratulations.
Thank you. So, I get the
what class was that in, John?
I ran. That was in a modified. I think it was C class. It was the Gerber car. It was the Gerber Special.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that. That's the great. Well, congratulations. That's sweet.
Thank you. Yeah, that was a big deal. Chip and Gene Gerber allowed me to do that. And, of course, I've been helping build that car for Steve Tracy and Chip that built that new Lakester.
Yeah.
And everything it's going to run this year. And the salt plays well with us this year. It will set the record this year.
So are you hooked?
Yeah. Can we get photos of that car and put that
up? Yeah, we need to do that.
Cool.
Facebook page.
So are you hooked?
Oh, it! I got hooked bad. And again, that was another George Poteet. I was out there. George invited me out there to watch him do the miracles he has. And then he turned to me, and he knew I'd been racing for a while. And he says, "Why don't you drive my car?"
Oh.
His first 32 was my first pass that I got to make a pass in. And I think he knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah, he's an evil man.
He got you hooked, yeah. So yeah, if you could send us pictures of that drag pack car and your Bonneville car, we'd love to post them when we put this up. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, that just cinches it, man. Good for you.
So what's the new product that you want to really push and make sure everybody see that's coming from Classic Instruments?
Well, there's a couple things that the new 40 Ford I'm super proud of because, again, I kept hearing this thing about hot rodding and people asking me and things, and I just disagree. I think hot rodding not only is not going backwards, it's growing. So the 40 Ford package I'm really proud of. It has our new ZST technology, which is our Zeus speedometer technology, which makes it the smartest instrument speedometer in the world. It can hook up to any computer, any transmission, and operate without any extra boxes or pieces like that. The number one problem with speedometers, and everybody on the phone call has been through it, is calibrating.
Oh, yeah.
What we've done, we've actually built a speedometer that can learn the signal that is coming in through software development, and we have four patents on this development that we've done. And you literally drive the vehicle 30 miles an hour using your smartphone or any GPS, push the button, and you're calibrated.
Really? Now that's pretty cool because
I'm really, really proud of my guys on that. They really put a lot out.
Well, you know, we've this last year we've put in 344 dashes in induced roadsters, and they're very, very popular. So you know, I think you're on the right track for more than just 40 Ford coupes and such.
Well, I think what it is, I mean, maybe I'm reaching here, but I think guys are just putting 44 dashes in Camaros and Mustangs, and John just thinks that it's hot rods, you know. It's
Yeah.
Dude,
no,
I think they're all hot rods. John Forrest still calls his car a hot rod, but
hot rods. I have to agree with you. Our business has never been better, so, I mean, We've been forging axles now for about 3 years, and you'd think that a forged axle had never, ever been made. I mean, we can't keep them in stock. We're buying 500 at a time, and you tell me where they're going. Well, they're going into the hot rod business.
Yeah, they can only fit certain vehicles. I mean, it's not like you're not putting a straight axle.
No, I mean, it's amazing. I can't believe it. I mean, every time I turn around, there's another load of them in the door. So I totally agree with you.
Well,
that's another thing. We're proud that, you know, we manufacture the SoCal gauges for Pete.
Yeah.
We manufacture all the Moon Eyes. Brad, we do yours.
Yep.
And SoCals. And when you can tie in with companies at that level and those names, for me, the nostalgia value of that is just beyond belief. I mean, I really get to work and play with my heroes that I grew up reading about. And I never in a million years thought that I would be part of it. And there's a movie that's launching today, Furious 7, and our instruments are in that. And things like that for my staff, for myself, you kind of got to pinch yourself. And
Well, it's all about brand building, and you just be careful who you build your brands with. And obviously, everybody's been building with the right people. I mean, you know, we're very loyal with the people we do business with.
Pete, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, Bobby Alloway has spoken so highly of you, and Bobby's become a very personal friend, has really helped me out on design and building things, and has become a very good friend. And you've mentored him, and then now he's mentoring me, and hopefully I can pass that torch to the next one. And this whole industry is about relationships.
Well, I just got a
more than anything.
I just got a text from him. He's looking for a 58 Impala, guys.
Okay, there you go.
But with a 40 dash.
With a 40 dash. Yeah.
Well, if there's a way to do it, Bobby would do it, and it'd come out looking great.
Yeah.
So
we know what the wheels and tires are going to look like.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we already know that.
And there's a good chance it might be black.
I know. I'm shocked.
So, hey, tell us where our listeners can find you on the internet.
On the internet, it's www.classicinstruments.com. And, of course, we do the social media as well.
And John, I know that that you're personally at a lot of the shows. So everybody out there, if you go by the Classic Instruments booth at one of the big shows, stop by and see if John's there and tell him hi.
Please do. I enjoy that. The shows are my treat. I actually get to go to the shows, and now I get to pay myself to go.
Exactly. So, well, John, we appreciate you giving us kind of a look behind the curtain at Classic Instruments, and we'll post those, website links and everything on the Facebook page along with this show. And is there anything else that you want to throw at us before we wrap it up?
I just want to thank all of you guys for having me on the show, and just the entire industry, just thanks for having me. I really do enjoy my life, and it's because of all the people I get to meet. So just thank you.
Awesome.
All right, man. Well, thanks for being a cop. I appreciate that.
So thanks so much. We really appreciate you taking the time out of your day and coming on Shift and Steer. And everybody, that wraps up another show. Thank you, John. We appreciate you being part of it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Pete, Matt, thank you.
Guys, and don't forget about our promotion with Mother's Polish. You can find more details up on our Facebook page, but jump on iTunes, subscribe, give us a nice review, and
yeah, we need a good review.
Shines.
Can we call it a hashtag? That's kind of a pound and a hashtag.
A
hashtag.
I think that's Indian, isn't it? A hashtag.
Okay, I'll stick with hashtag. Remember, it's hashtag Mother's Polish Shines.
Yeah.
And if you want instructions on the contest on how to win one of those Mother's Polish and waxes buckets, then just go to our Facebook page. That's a lot to say.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah. Hey, where can they find us?
So check us out, of course, on our Facebook page that we mentioned. We're at Shift Steer Media. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. And follow us there. And, we'd appreciate it. Tell a friend.
Everybody, another Shift and Steer wrapped up. Pete, thanks for coming down. And Matt, as always. And Aaron, he's somewhere in his car once again. But he'll be on another episode. So, and remember, we got great shows coming up. The end of the month, I'm just going to keep you guys excited, because the end of the month, we are invited to the Ferrari Challenge from Ferrari USA, and we'll be at Sonoma Raceway.
That's right. Oh, looking for a hashtag.
So, yeah, we'll have a hashtag for that one. So, everybody, thanks again for listening to Shift and Steer.
Hashtag Pete Rex Ferrari.
No. They're not going to let us drive.
They're not going to let us drive.
Thanks again, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, John.
Yep, take care, Brett.